Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are once again, plunging into the depths of darkness. This is your midnight host, Arcana Moore, accompanied by the mistress of mayhem, the delightful Pam Ray, ready to escort you into the dwindling hours where only the brave dare venture. Good morning, Pam. And how are you today?
I am doing absolutely wonderful. Looking forward to hanging out with you, maybe some other cool poets, and, you know, just delving into the darkness. It's going to be an awesome night.
That's what we like to hear. So are you ready to do a spot of delving with me?
Absolutely.
Is there anyone else who dares to join us tonight, Pam?
Not at this time.
Okay. Then we have an awful lot to get through tonight. So, without further ado, let's get our fangs stuck into all this dark poetry we have lined up for you on our show. And to start off with, we have a few carryovers from our Dark Dreams contest. So I'm going to put the first one up on the board now. And Pam, would you like to give this one a read for us?
I would be happy to. Broken Doll Children by Anastasia. Broken Doll Children of Lost Generation, stillborn in silence and standing ovation, porcelain pieces of misters and misses, clutching your rosaries looking for Jesus, ashes to ashes, extorting seduction, searching for ghosts of the fatal attraction, fall on your knees in mechanical style, gears of lust in the clocks of exile, stabbed in the back with dagger of fears, based on a premise of limping ideals, bodies of souls in the lands of forgotten, chipped at the elbows of flesh freshly rotten, starving yourself through desire of torture, it's in your nature and it's in your nurture. Coffined in boxes in pure desperation, broken doll children of lost generation. End poem.
Fabulous read there, Pam. Yeah, okay. I mean, this one, I just thought it was great. Fall on your knees in mechanical style, gears of lust in the clocks of exile, bodies of souls in the lands of forgotten, chipped at the elbows of flesh freshly rotten. Great rhyming and visceral imagery inspired by the ingredients of nightmares. The idea of broken doll children by itself is alarming and unsettling, which Anastasia elaborates upon with this descent into darkness, painting alarming pictures into the mind's eye, starving yourself through desire of torture. It's in your nature, and it's in your nurture. Coffined in boxes in pure desperation, broken doll children of lost generation. There's something unsettling about the apparently innocent outward appearance of dolls. But what is really going on in the mind behind those cold, staring glass eyes, we ask ourselves? What are they plotting? Great writing, Anastasia. And Pam, what did you think to this piece?
Oh, I have to agree. I have to agree. Dolls are so creepy. My 15-year-old collects dolls of all kinds. I'm always like telling her, one of these days you're going to wake up and they're going to be standing over you. Thank you. He has my sense of humor and just laughs at me. But this was wonderful rhyming couplets, brilliant dark imagery. It really, whenever children are brought into a dark rite, it becomes especially haunting. And I think this can be taken literally as neglect and abuse of children and how it shapes each generation. But I think it can take a look at the whole idea of that lost generation, that while they look at religion to save me, their actions speak louder than their words. And so, in fact, they're not saved at all in any way because, you know, they basically lean against, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. They don't put their actions into words. They lean against false pretenses and acts that are not in the ideals of love, but rather in the ideals of hurting other people. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. There's this kind of benign innocence about dolls, isn't there? They look so kind of peaceful and serene, but it's as if there's something being plotted in those minds, something malevolent behind them, and you're just never quite sure what it is and when they're going to pounce.
Absolutely.
So... The next piece I'm going to put up has got a SoundCloud to it, Pam. And this one is called Lonely Castle by William Shade. And I think you should have a SoundCloud for that somewhere.
Yes, we do. Here we go.
Lonely Castle by William Shade. I built a castle all around me, walls higher than even I can see. No gate to enter, no one invited, no exit either, perhaps nearsighted. A forest of thorns planted all around, never-ending storms, no sunlight found. But spiders and rats and bats abound with a skittering, scurrying, screeching sound. As lightning strikes, light up the sky, and fade again as storm clouds cry, I can't help but feel confined in this castle I've built inside my mind. I hear the monsters breaking in, if only I had some way to fight. I guess perhaps they'll finally win, barring the arrival of some white knight. If only I could change my skin and like a bat take flight, perhaps I could go join my kin in this eternal night.
Are you on mute, Arcana?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm mutilating there. Yeah, that was a great SoundCloud there. What did you think to that one then, Pam?
Oh, that was a wonderful SoundCloud. William Shade has a great reading voice. So I was glad that he shared this with us. An excellent dark tale told in rhyme, and I've always been a big fan of story poems, and especially when they're told in well-done rhyme. And I like how this speaks on becoming trapped within the walls constructed in the mind. And I really like this all the way through, but especially a forest of thorns planted all around, never-ending storms, no sunlight found, but spiders and rats and bats abound with skittering, scurrying, screeching sound. And then I guess perhaps they'll finally win, bearing the arrival of some white knight. That idea of, and as you mentioned, the castle built inside my mind, and the idea that, you know, someone else will come save you, but they never do, and so you're left stuck within those walls, those castles of darkness that you've built up in your own mind. Brilliant, Dark Wright, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment. That's deep, that is, Pam. I've got to say, first of all, thank you very much for providing a SoundCloud recital, William. It's always great to hear poetry read by the poets themselves. A forest of thorns planted all around. Never-ending storms, no sunlight found. But spiders and rats and bats abound with a skittering, scurrying, screeching sound. Great imagery captured here, skillfully setting the scene. As lightning strikes, light up the sky, and fade again as storm clouds cry, I can't help but feel confined in this castle I've built inside my mind. Wonderful Gothic lines here, well-rhymed, and capturing the horror of feeling helpless, trapped in a nightmare from which there is no escape. If only I could change my skin and like a bat take flight. Perhaps I could go join my kin in this eternal night. Very well written, and an inspired vision of the creepy castle in William's chosen prompt. Great imagination, William, and very well done. Okay, up next we have a piece called History Dream Eater Mumbles, and this is by Ben Hart, and I shall give this a read for you. Dream Eater Mumbles by Ben Hart, part one. Dream Eater Mumbles. I'm okay. I'm not going anywhere. And the person who felt so empty then, so empty, that she thought if she didn't die before it got out of hand, she'd consume everything. She's gone. In a way, we both got what we wanted, her and I. Promise? Promise? A brother's lonely arms. From colorblind skies, rain falls on tin windows. History weighs heavy on the chest of the man who's heard it all before. The strumming, the humming, and the song forever ringing out in the hollow of his head. I come here alone. But where rain falls from one into many, he'd gone the other way. And the hunter will hold aloft its prize, the word of a storyteller. But against the love and the ache of the empty room, it will never weigh. I am all that remains. Part 3. Dream Eater Mumbles. We are two kinds of the same pain, you and I. Oh, how so? You feel like you're dying, like your body is consuming itself, and therefore you seek refuge in your mind. And I? Well, I lost mine and harmed my body in attempt to find, amid the tides of that never-ending dim. I guess they failed to mention that when they said rock bottom was a place. Mention what? That it's a place within. End poem. What did you think to this one, Pam?
Oh, as always, Ben really impresses me with his writing. And you did a wonderful read there. A powerful vignette, amazing imagery and metaphors. I like how he writes on the idea of grief, on the deep pain of grief, of love lost, of losing someone important to you, and how oftentimes they will visit you in your dreams. And yeah, I remember reading before that oftentimes when you most feel like you don't have closure is when people visit you in your dreams. I remember when my stepmother died, and she was a woman I was really close to. She was like a mother to me. And when she died in a car accident, I would have these dreams that she would come to me over and over again speaking to me. And so I find this to be a very touching write. And I especially like she's gone in a way we both got what we wanted, her and I. Promise, promise. And from colorblind skies, rain falls on tin windows, history weighs heavy on the chest of the man who's heard it all before. You know, sometimes when you're grieving and you can't let go of that grief because it's just so painful, people come up with the most cliche things to say, and it feels like just the same thing over and over again, and it feels like you're living that nightmare of people not understanding. So amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of truth in those words that you've just said there, Pam. It is a very difficult thing, and people often struggle with finding what the right thing to say to somebody who is suffering from grief. Usually it's sort of something along the lines of, oh, you know, at least they're not suffering anymore, or they're in a better place, or something along those lines. But really, you know, the only thing that people that are grieving really need is just somebody who listen. That's all. You don't even have to say anything. As long as you listen and you empathize and you show that you care about that person, that's what they really need, to feel something from someone. And that's a great comment that you just made there. What I thought from this, we are two kinds of the same pain, you and I. Oh, how so? You feel like you're dying, like your body is consuming itself, and therefore you seek refuge in your mind. And I, well, I lost mine. And, excuse me a moment, because my computer is just acting up, and harmed my body in an attempt to find, amid the tides of that never-ending din. As always, Ben has a very unique talent for expressing himself with his wonderful poetry. There's a deep reflection taking place in this piece that examines the despair of hopelessness when one is unable to persevere anymore with the struggles life has placed upon them and are drowning within their own inner darkness. Incredible imagery describing a downward spiral into depression and despondency. Very well written and very well done, Ben. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up for you to read for us, Pam, if you wouldn't mind, is by Brundaban Panda, called Dark Dreams Due to Sensual Eclipses. Would you like to take that away?
Absolutely. I would be happy to. Dark dreams occur due to sensual eclipses. Definitely. Unconscious mind faces darkness. Divine quality vanishes, so devil evil enhances. Door of hell be opened by ego, anger and desires. Dark dream prime cause of danger, destruction. Danger, alarm, and terror can spoil world nation. Dark dream can be vanished by the divine light. Definitely daydreams with full faith turn to reality. Divine path is spiritual, but sensual path of senses. Due to wisdom, consciousness, eclipse, vanishes. Door of divine Lord is opened for the noble soul. Duty, morality, punctuality, humanity, very essential. Doing dangerous deeds in social field, who dies. Definitely he enters to hell where forever he cries. Death King Yama, who awards punishment for sin, donating life for the welfare of society. Life divine. End poem.
That was a fantastic read there, Pam. Okay, so peace. There's a whole lot of D's going on in Brundaban's inspired piece. It reads like a rhetorical reflection on the essence of what we find unsettling within our dreams, balanced against the comfort of spiritual fortitude and philosophy. Doing dangerous deeds in social fields, who dies? Definitely he enters to hell where forever he cries. Death King Yama, who awards punishment for sin, donating life for the welfare of society's life divine. It's a very deep muse on the essence of good and evil, waging war in the depths of the subconscious mind. A thought-provoking piece here by Brundaban. Powerful, imaginatively written, with a subtle mix of rhyme and near rhyme. I thought it was very well done. And what did you think, Pam?
You know what? I really like this. You took it on a different path, for sure. Oh, and just to let you know, I did send you a little note that you can take a peek at while I'm commenting on this.
Okay.
All right. And but yeah, I thought this was an excellent rite that brings forth thoughts of comparing the subconscious to the reality of darkness that plagues society. There are those things that we fear in our dreams, and there are those things that you know, we have to look at within the reality of society that can be a fear, like doing dangerous deeds in social fields, who dies. And I like that he brings in Yama, the Death King, which I assume is a god of death or something like that. And definitely a lot of D's. And door of hell be opened by ego, anger, and desires. Great lines there. So clever write and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Okay, so the next piece I'm going to put up now is by a poet called Horsk. And it's called Twilight's Locket Lost. And I'll give this one a read. Twilight's Locket, Lost Time by Horsk. It's a raven's nest, the bedding's lined with jewels, long since drawn from their treasure chests, but just one has a plea spooled, where a snail worm hums of a grave that holds a wizard hostage. Under bed arrest by death's shade, he'd thieved his lover's locket. The silver's tarnished to black, and information, expression, has turned deep, fuzzy, and flat. Here, its last incantation. Far beyond the emerald hall, with its scale-clad father tree, where whip-whales scrawl on temple walls their secrets on botany. Through the grey grass of the storm fields, where squalls bear nothing that falls, but roars in calls of thunder peals that can reach the lightning halls. Past the tower of King Mantis, where the soil is carmine dust, and slave-clogged path-woven sandpits are lined by dogmen with clubs. You'll find the Isle of Treasure Lake, Polyhydra heathens hide, in the opaque dens of gem drakes, both progeny of twilight. If to them this trinket's returned, the day and night shall follow. The reward you'll receive, beyond. Pop. The final note falls on deaf ears. These birds know not this language. Thus, Twilight's locket remains here. So shall she remain in anguish. End poem. What did you make of this then, Pam?
Oh, I really liked this one, and great read there. First of all, I really like their what they said in their AN. Been having a hard time writing lately. Written for LNP contest. You know, and it's not that I like that they've having a hard time writing, but whenever I see that somebody has been struggling with their muse, struggling with their writing, and they have become inspired by one of our LNP contests, I'm like, yes, one of our LNP hosts inspired that, right? So how awesome is that? And
absolutely.
Right? I loved knowing that the prompts that you picked out and you and Lou helped to inspire somebody. This has great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I really liked the use of the sound words, and you read that quite nicely with the crisp and the pop and all that. And then the final note falls on deaf ears. It has such a haunting feel to it. There's such a surrealism type feel to this, especially when you bring in Past the Tower of King Mantis, where the soil is carmine dust and slave clogged path woven sand pits are lined by dog men with clubs. A couple weeks back, I happened to watch this 1930s black and white version of A Midsummer's Night Dream. And it was like the stuff that acid trips and nightmares were made out of. And it was just the weirdest freaking shit ever.
An acid trip in black and white. Hey, that's cool.
Yep, it was awesome. But this is kind of what this poem kind of reminded me of, that same kind of imagery where you're just completely having a trip into this otherworldly darkness. So excellent write and very well done.
Fantastic comment, Pam. Far beyond the Emerald Hall, with its scale-clad father tree, where whip whales scrawl on temple walls their secrets on botany, through the grey grass of the storm fields, where squalls bear nothing that falls, but roars in calls of thunder peals that can reach the lightning halls. The imaginative dreamlike quality that Horst has captured here is absolutely fantastic. To me, and just kind of echoing what you've just said, I made a mental note to myself. This is like Sergeant Pepper meets Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds on a really bad day. I love the ideas that come through in the dark imagery of this piece that takes the reader on a trip into terror. The rhyming and poetic language used are great too. It's a wonderful write from Horsk. And like you said, we've all been there at some time or another where we just really struggling to find the enthusiasm or the muse to be able to write something. It's not for lack of not wanting to, it's just it's not coming, and you know deep down that if you try to force it, it's just going to be crap. So during times like that, I find it's best to just sort of take time out and let the dust settle, and then when you feel sufficiently inspired by something, to pick up the writing again. And like you said, that's exactly what Horsk has done here. And it is indeed great to see somebody who's felt inspired by something that we've actually thrown them in one of our contests. So great comment there, Pam. Okay. The next piece that we have is by Cecil Miller. Here it comes, Darkness. Would you like to give that one a read for us, Pam?
I would be happy to. I Whispered to the Darkness by Cecil Miller. I whispered to the darkness, and the darkness whispered back. It said that I was welcome in its embrace of black. I thanked it for its offer and said I'd love to stay. But first I had one thing to do and one thing left to say. I shouted to the brightness and the brightness answered not. It paid me not a single mind. For me it spared no thought. And so I turned and walked away into the dark I died. And now that I am dead to all, I finally feel alive. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. I love that that last stanza. And so I turned and walked away, into the dark I dived. And now that I am dead to all, I finally feel alive. Here we have two sides to the coin, the yin and yang of darkness and light, expressed through the subconscious mind, where rather than darkness being demonized, perceived as offering comfort and solace. There's something liberating about being set free from expectations and being anonymous, where to anyone in the public eye, though doubtless they enjoy adulation and the trappings of fame, they must also rue the constant glare of prying eyes, invading what little privacy they have. A great muse here from Cecil that is well-rhymed, well-conceived, and well-written. And so I have to say, well done. And what did you think to this piece, Pam?
Well, that was a great comment there. And I really like this one. I decided I was going to put this one on my amazing rights list. It does have wonderful rhyme and flow. I like how it takes a different look at darkness. How, as you were saying, it's seeing darkness as an offering of comfort, as an offering of solace. And then you turn to the brightness, you turn to the light, you turn to all those people who act like your friend when everything's going right, and you find that you're not getting what you need, you're not getting what you're seeking for, and so then you turn to where you finally feel welcomed. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. Okay, so next up, we have a piece called Battered Gown by Jesna Sajjan. And I should give this one a read for us. Battered Gown. I'm torn apart, let me go. Why did you take it low? Give me my life back. Why was I tied in a sack? I pant for breath, mouth sealed, my hands tied to my bouquet bleed, my spirit lifted far with resent, for I did not give my consent. I could not return to my wedding, I was not the divine sending, in vision of glass-colored shades, purple, red, yellow, blue, jades. A bride dressed in snowy white gown floated in the withering stream. The witch stole from Shoal Castile town, her groom living in her dream. She woke up to find her shimmering ghost fighting with her friend's headless worst. Hysteric clamour of an old French church, headless, flown in black gowns to lurch. My groom is nowhere here. Where has he been? Where is the witch who stole my life dream? I do not see them among the black gowns, but the headless are roaming in shattered towns. I was captured by the spirits of vultures to be sent to a long ago green field of agriculture. It was burnt, tattered, desolated after a wildfire chases. The homes were powdered, bones and burned faces. The witch has stolen our spirits to be housed. Our flames flickered in mass numbers doused. We are in the prisons of the Shoal Castile town, in the abyss of the brides chained to drown. End poem. Would you like to give us a comment on that one, Pam?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful read there, Arcana. You know, there is something just, I don't know, just really haunting about a bride that's been left, you know, on her wedding night, or, you know, that something so sad about a bride who's either left on her wedding night or who dies on her wedding night or her groom dies. It's always had such both a fascinating and haunting feel to it. You know, this is just amazing visceral imagery, a wonderful dark tale of a bride stolen away from her wedding day. And I was captured by the spirit of vultures resent to a long ago green field of agriculture. It was burnt, tattered, desolated after wildfire chases. The homes were powdered bones and burned faces. I mean, that's just the kind of imagery that can just send shivers up and down your spine. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment there, Pam. Yeah, I mean, there's an awful lot going on in this piece. And like you say, it all sort of rotates around a jilted woman on her wedding day. There's some great lines in here. My groom is nowhere here. Where has he been? Where is the witch who stole my life dream? I do not see them among the black gowns, but the headless are roaming in shattered towns. This person is obviously portraying devastation here. They've been jilted, they've been left, and they're just feeling completely numb from it all. In the abyss of the brides chained to drown, all the jilted women that have gone before and are yet to come, and she's joined them. And here we are in great news. It's visions of being captured and taken away to be tortured for eternity is what it says to me. I thought it was very well done and a great piece. Thank you for that, Jesna. Okay. So we have now finished the carryovers from the Dark Dreams contest. So next we will be moving on to Kiss Contest. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up a piece now. And this piece is a collaboration. And it's coming up now. There we go. Sorry, say again, Pam.
Oh, I heard a cat meowing, so I said somebody has an opinion.
Yeah, well, that's Yoda. He's having his say. He wants his moment of fame. This piece is between Sector Hunter and Femora. And would you like to give this one a read for us, please, Pam?
Absolutely. Death Becomes Her, a collaboration between Femora and Sector Hunter. Death embraced me with chilling touch. His bony kiss upon my lips was like being embellished by winter as he imparted his sweet gift. His touch reaches into my very core, causing a delicate surrender as I am drained, an icy sting of love offered as he takes hold. I fade then there into blissful darkness. My fair youthfulness wanes like the moon as I submit peacefully unto his will. My soul is as my eyes, blanketed, and yet I am unafraid and at peace. Serenity in knowing his love is absolute, forever held in the cold nothingness of a beautiful rapture's delight, the end becoming my beginning. End poem.
Great piece there, Pam. Great read there. It's okay, I'm struggling because I've got a cat shoving its backside in my face at the moment.
Oh,
you know
dear.
What they're like.
Oh, yes.
So I thought Sector Hunter and Femora have written a seamless collab together here that ripples with dark imagery and passion. There are many great lines in this wonderful piece, but the stanzas that spoke the loudest to me were the last two. My fair youthfulness wanes like the moon, as I submit peacefully unto his will. My soul is as are my eyes, blanketed, and yet I am unafraid and at peace. Serenity is knowing his love is absolute, forever held in the cold nothingness of a beautiful rapture's delight, the end becoming my beginning. I like the way this piece explores the kiss of death as bringing peace and becoming the start of a new journey onwards into the afterlife, as if death actually liberates you from all the difficulties life offers and is something to be embraced rather than feared. Great writing here, with a great flow in this delicious desert of darkness. Very well done both, a very enjoyable piece. And what did you think to this one, Pam?
Well, first of all, that was a very impressive collaboration where they wrote in one voice. All the way through, there's a nice seamless flow to it. I really like how it speaks on surrendering to the will of death. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. And, you know, I really like it all the way through. But I do have to say, especially the first and last stanza, where the end becoming my beginning. Wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. Okay, next up we have a piece called A Timeless Need by Jeg325. So I shall give this one a read. A Timeless Need. Before light came forever's night, no love existing amid barren lands, but need arose out of its shadow. The void stirred, extended its hand. There was longing in ashen skies against a cold charcoal backdrop. Something asked to be made whole, for without hope, feeling might stop. From silken mists named yesterday rose a lady of enrapturing beauty. But it took someone different, this man, to appreciate her completely. She outglittered every jewel seen beyond pearl-laden gates of time. I must possess her body and life once the 12th hour starts to chime. End poem. What did you think?
Great. First of all, great read there. Wonderful imagery and metaphors. An excellent dark write that speaks on longing to have something that you feel you cannot have. And I like how the end, to me, speaks on the idea of becoming obsessed with somebody. So great write and very well done.
Great comment. John's penned a beautiful piece of dark sensuality here that speaks of an overwhelming desire to possess the object of his protagonist's affection, mind, body, and soul. It also touches on how beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and how through the beautiful woman, though the beautiful woman is described as having enrapturing beauty, he goes on to state, it took someone different, this man, to appreciate her completely, which suggests this man saw beyond her physical beauty and also admired her inner beauty that shone from her spirit and personality, where others only saw her outward appearance and failed to look beyond that. From silken mists named yesterday rose a lady of enrapturing beauty, but it took someone different, this man, to appreciate her completely. She outglittered every jewel seen beyond pearl-laden gates of time. I must possess her body and life once the 12th hour starts to chime. This suggests the man may be a vampire, as he has to wait until midnight before he can possess her and drink of her essence to enable her to join him in eternal darkness. Ooh, I like that idea. Great metaphoric descriptions employed too in this well-written piece. Well done, John. Okay, next up, we have a piece by Campton Kerr. Would you like to read this one for us, please, Pam?
Absolutely. So to be honest, if you don't mind, I really think this one would be so much better in your voice.
Yeah, no problem. If you think so, I'll give it a go.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's called And Like a Dove, Rondeau Redouble. And like a dove, I thought she might take flight, then shudders neath my soothing satin touch. Her heaving breasts, her skin, pale milky white, I suck the nectar from her virgin blush. She folds to me, her face is warm and flush. I lick the droplets flowing red and bright. She's moaning as I lip a whispered hush, and like a dove, I thought she might take flight. Her carnal dreams I tease to my delight. Her deepness drains with each unyielding thrust. I feel her reach as darkness fills my sight, then shudders neath my soothing satin touch. Her breathing soft, what need have I to rush? I will prolong her next orgasmic height, and on the stake that kills I vow to lust. Her heaving breasts, her skin, pale, milky white. I drape behind and veil my savage bite that fuels the brimstone and the burning brush. My fangs exposed to feel this sacred rite from her virgin blush. Together, wheeling like a plunging kite, cannibalistic bones powdered to dust. Oh, in the blending of our blood this night, when we awake, we both will vow to hunt. End poem. What did you think, Pam?
Ooh, well, first of all, I think all the ladies listening in are just oohing and aahing over that read. it was perfect for your voice. I thought it would be. I felt like it called for a masculine voice. I have to say that this one really impressed me. First of all, I thought the Rondeau Redouble was a wonderful form choice for a dark rite. It worked really well. And anytime you have a form that uses repetitive lines, you have to have strong repetitive lines. And Captain Kerr does that so well with great rhyme and flow. I told him that I thought this was a dark sensual rite that will have his readers blushing and bowing. And I know I can speak for myself. When I read this earlier today and now, I was blushing and bowing, and I don't bow that often, so you can take that as a compliment. I really liked this all the way through, but especially the third and the last two stanzas. You know, when he transforms her and then they vow to hunt together when they awaken. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Okay, great comment, Pam. I have a confession to make. On this particular piece, I made the mistake of sending a private message to Captain Kerr saying, did you know that you have repeated lines here and there? To which he wrote back to me. And as was explained to me by the good captain himself, after he granted me permission to step aboard his ship, in this double rendezvous form, he has written in, the first line of verse 1 is repeated in the last fourth line of verse 2. The second line of verse 1 is repeated in the last fourth line of verse 3. This goes on until all lines in verse 1 are repeated in succeeding verses, and then the final verse has no repeating lines. So I actually learned something there about a poetic form that I was unfamiliar with. So it was educational for me.
Well, I'm glad you got a chance to learn something. And, you know, and thankfully he was nice and understanding. Not everybody is, and they should be, because not everybody knows every single form.
Absolutely. I told him, you know, if he wants to correct it, I says, if you get it right this time, that's great. Otherwise, I'm going to have to start charging you for proofreading. And he was kind enough to say, well, you can charge me anyway if you like. And I said, no, it's okay. This one's on the house. My bad. So it was all good. Her breathing soft, what need have I to rush? I will prolong her next orgasmic height. And on the stake that kills, I vow to lust her heaving breasts, her skin pale, milky white. I just thought that this form works really well and is well suited to this wonderful rite. It captures all the essentials of a great vampire tale with passion, lust, sensuality, and piercing bites. The poetic language used is wonderful, and the imagery captured perfectly describes his chosen prompt. I thought it was a great piece, Captain. Very well done. Okay, up next we have a piece by Jenny the Deep. And would you like to give that one a read for us, please, Pam?
I would be happy to. Succumbing to Stealth Stares by Jenny the Deep. Placing his lips upon my lips, I embrace death's kiss, letting him absorb the life out of me. Laying beneath him, I feel free. Cascading down his crimson lace as dark desires slather my face. Flirting with death shakes hollow ground, yet wrapped in his arms, I feel safe and sound. Taking my breath away, upon me his shadow stays. Petrified in his dreadful presence, I'm seduced by his eerily essence. A chill goes up my spine as I succumb to the deadly divine. Playing with fire after dark, I give in to his tempting stare so stark. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. Yeah, I thought for this piece, the image of death sucking the life from a beautiful woman appears to have been very popular in this contest, which Jenny has written to, capturing the act of submission to death's embrace. Taking my breath away, upon me his shadow stays, petrified in his dreadful presence, I'm seduced by his eerily essence. A chill goes up my spine as I succumb to the deadly divine. Playing with fire after dark, I give in to his tempting stare so stark. This reminds me of the film Meet Joe Black with Brad Pitt, taking the part of death on vacation. There's a great mix of sensuality and fear that excites this protagonist, drawing her into death's web of seduction, which I felt was very well expressed and well written. Great write, Jenny. What did you think, Pam?
This is definitely a great write by Jenny. Wonderful imagery and lines that speak on surrendering to the pleasures of dark seduction, and especially the seduction of death. And I have to say I especially like that second stanza with the line, flirting with death shakes hollow ground. Wonderful, right, and very well done.
Comment there, Pam. Okay, so up next we have a piece called To Be or Not to Be by Truth Chills. So I shall give this a read. To be or not to be, make up my mind already. Don't act like you don't want me, when all my life there you were crouching in corners, hiding in my peripheral vision, always as close as the breath in my lungs and as far as the sun on the horizon. The fear that once seized my heart when the smell of despair dipped from your cold sickle was near, is no longer a factor in my later years. You could have taken me in my youth, when the shroud of misery surrounded me, thick as molasses, but instead, you came just to get your fill, swallowing my sadness like a cold beer on a hot day, then turning loose those spirits of sadness and sealing up my ability to love, ever be loved. Unwittingly, making me your number one enemy. Now, you come to offer a sweet kiss of death and have the nerve to take offense when I squinch the rancid smell of your breath. You are but a fragment of what is left of my mind, and soon, even less than that, as I succumb to the false sense of serenity that is fail-safe when reality threatens to take my sanity away. I have let go of any childhood nuance that tries to coddle the maternal instinct in me, that wants to live and raise a family, to have a husband and 2.5 kids, a dog named Dog, and a big house with a two-car garage. I hold no candle to eternal life or forgiveness for my wrongdoings. I know that when the time comes to pay up, I will lay down and ante up. End poem. What's your comment on that one then, Pam?
Great read there, Arcana. I like this one, and I think it's very layered. Like, at first I took it literally, like, about the idea of someone who only loves you when it's convenient for them. It had a raw emotive reality to that. And I still can see it as being that, but I can also see it as being the whole idea of spending most of your life feeling like you would welcome death, that you basically had nothing to live for, that, you know, that death would be welcomed. And then you reach that point in your life where you're ready to have your dreams come true. You're ready to live life. And yet it is then that death chooses to haunt you. There's a darkness to this that I think, while it's written to a fantasy type picture, I think touches more on the darkness of reality than the other rites written to that this particular photo or image. And I like that because I think it's a darkness we can all relate to, whether it's an actual love from a person or it's that whole idea of, you know, when we feel death should come and when we feel it should stay away, either way, it can be a very relatable and a wonderful, heartfelt rite. Very well done.
Yeah, wonderful comment, Pam. I love Maria's imaginative use of metaphors throughout this piece, which creates wonderful imagery in the mind's eye. Make up my mind already. Don't act like you don't want me, when all my life there you were, crouching in corners, hiding in my peripheral vision, always as close as the breath in my lungs and as far as the sun on the horizon. You could have taken me in my youth, when the shroud of misery surrounded me, thick as molasses, swallowing my sadness like a cold beer on a hot day. There's wonderful metaphors used in there. I found this to be a deep muse on growing old and accepting the inevitability of death, expressed in a way that is easily relatable. I hold no candle to eternal life or forgiveness for my wrongdoings. I know that when the time comes to pay up, I will lay down and ante up. I had to think about that last line about having to ante up. Ante being an amount of money that each person must risk in order to participate in a game, or the cost of something. In this case, life being the game and death being the price to pay for playing it. Well written and a great piece, Truth Chills. Okay. Next up, we have a piece by our very own Uncle Ernie and Pam. It's your turn to read. Would you like to give this one a read for Uncle Ernie?
I would be happy to. It would be an honor. Doppelganger by Uncle Ernie. I watched as she dances, silhouetted by the firelight, her mouth red as the rose, eyes black as pitch, hair kissed by the same fire that burns within her. She is a force to be reckoned with, not just a mortal woman, but more, an ethereal, powerful being who can conjure up her desires with the crook of a finger. Her slender form sways rhythmically, hips outlined by the moon. Her laughter echoes all around me, caressing the innermost parts of my soul. I am entranced by her, my own mirror image, shadow self, doppelganger. Sometimes I think I willed her into existence. I've heard it said that you need to love yourself first. This much I now know to be true. For when our eyes meet, all I want is to be lost in her forever, to be consumed by her and all her wicked wiles. I am in love with myself, with my own darkness, captivating and delicious. I walk towards her, my gaze locked on hers, as she eyes my body, my nakedness on full display. She drinks me in, eyes filled with unbridled desire. Then we find each other, bodies on the ground, writhing, intertwined, conjoined, now and forevermore. End poem.
Yeah, great read, Pam. For me, I thought this was a very clever write by Uncle Ernie in the way he has chosen to interpret the image of the two witches kissing beneath the full moon. He has imaginatively made one of them into a clone or doppelganger of the other, where the mirror image represents all the deviant desires and wickedness that lurk within, unleashed as an alter ego and recognized for all that she represents, accepting the seduction of her dark side before joining with it to become one whole, consumed by the other's unbridled decadence. It almost has overtones of Dorian Gray in there. I am in love with myself, with my own darkness, captivating and delicious. I walk towards her, my gaze locked on hers, as she eyes my body, my nakedness on full display. She drinks me in, eyes filled with unbridled desire. Then we find each other, bodies on the ground, writhing, intertwined, conjoined, now and forevermore. A wonderful and inspired rite on being seduced by and submitting to darkness. Wonderful use of imagery throughout. Very well written and very well done, Uncle Ernie. And Pam, you read this piece. What did you think?
Oh, this was fabulous. It was really a fantastic and captivating dark rite written in the voice of one who has fallen for their doppelganger. And, you know, I really have always found doppelganger's stories to be fascinating. But I like how this is a dark tale of lust, and yet at the end it also becomes an analogy for learning how to love yourself. And in his note, he puts, in fiction mythology, a doppelganger is often portrayed as a ghostly or paranormal phenomenon and usually seen as a harbinger of bad luck. In this poem, the doppelganger I wrote about was the paranormal shadow self. So I thought that was really cool that he added that extra note. I really like this all the way through, especially where it says, I am in love with myself, with my own darkness, captivating and delicious. You know, to be able to learn to embrace, to understand and love that dark and delicious part of yourself. So wonderful write and very well done.
Yeah, wonderful comment, Pam. Okay, and so up next, we have our very own Stellina and her wonderful piece titled Master of the Night, for which I believe we have a SoundCloud, Pam.
Yes, we do. And here we go.
Return to me, Master of the Night, with memories of your fierce desire, as you bind me in silken tethers, I succumb to your raging fire. I want you to take me slowly, to relish each demonic delight. As you disrobe my burning eager flesh, your eyes hungry at the sight. I beg you to feel part of me, the only Lord I wish to serve. As your mouth succulently savors each captivating curve, the night it holds a thousand whispers of unbridled ardor. When it seems you've taken me to the limit, you push me even farther. With the touch of your velvet lips, I hover on the edge of sanity, where I abandon my inhibitions, forgetting all morality. Your tongue is the aphrodisiac, which sends my senses reeling. The taste of you flowing through me, inflaming every feeling. Insatiably aroused, your fingers stroke each pulsating vein. We share an enduring blood bond, a sweet, delirious pain. From my lips the darkness echoes with my explosive moans, as this pure obsession for you lies buried deep within my bones. With ease you raise me, arched above your aching, heated passion. My body, an erotic sculpture, which your hands expertly fashion. The rhythm of our music thrums with every beat of my heart, as my barren breast sorely weeps when you callously depart. When we, in unison, reach our peak mid exquisite rapture, your fangs plunging deep within my breast, my essence to capture. I know that I am lost forever beneath your sanguine spell, and the secret of our cloistered rendezvous, I will never tell.
Wow. What a fabulous SoundCloud Stellina has made for us to accompany her accomplished rite, recited in an eerie, ethereal voice. Stellina is a great wordsmith, and the poetic language used throughout this piece is captivating. Written skillfully to rhyme, great imagery and use for alliteration are used deftly without being overdone, and the dark sensuality is palpable as this protagonist is driven to the brink of insanity by her lustful longing that eagerly submits to her dark paramour. With ease you raise me, arched above your aching, heated passion, my body an erotic sculpture which your hands expertly fashion. The rhythm of our music thrums with every beat of my heart, as my barren breast sorely weeps, callously depart. When we in unison reach our peak, amid exquisite rapture, your fangs plunging deep within my breast, my essence to capture. I know that I am lost forever beneath your sanguineous spell, the secret of our cloistered rendezvous, I will never tell. I just thought this is an absolutely wonderful, inspired piece written with great skill and poetic prowess. I thought it's very well done, Stellina. A wonderful SoundCloud to accompany it as well. Thank you for providing us with that. And thanks, you know, it's always great to hear pieces performed in the voice of the poet that wrote it. And you are an expert at that, so very well done. And what did you think to this piece, Pam?
Well, it's always just such a joy to hear Stellina's voice. She has a beautiful reading voice, and you're right, she is a very talented poetess. Wonderful dark sensuality, brilliant imagery and metaphors. I really like how she has a delicate touch with the alliteration, to where it just kind of adds to the flow of the poem. And all the way through, it's a truly amazing rite on surrendering to the bite that claims the flesh and soul. And I really like it all the way through. But I especially like, with the touch of your velvet lips, I hover on the edge of sanity where I abandon my inhibitions, forgetting all morality. Your tongue is the aphrodisiac which sends my senses reeling, the taste of you flowing through me, inflaming every feeling. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with that. Okay, so up next we have a piece called Death's Serenade by Jyoti Premastya. And so I shall give this one a read myself. Death's Serenade by Jyoti Premastya. Fall, fall to my embrace, O sweet one. For high is the moon and dead is the sun. Come, come to me, maiden bright, for I'll give you endless delight. Now don't be shy, for I am true and do not lie. I promise there will be no more tears and there will be no more fears. In my realm awaits sweet oblivion, a tenebrous yet blissful Elysian. Come, come to me, maiden bright. Come to the embrace of eternal night. Give me your hand, O creature of light, and banish your sorrow and fright. No need for that sullen and hopeless sigh, for the farthest shore of the Styx is nigh. Gaze at me, open wide your arms, do not attempt to resist my charms. Prepare yourself for a darkly bliss, for death doth know how to kiss. End poem. Your thoughts, Pam?
Great. Yes, great read there, Arcana. What a wonderful dark rite. Great rhyme and flow, some wonderful word choices. I always like and appreciate the use of the word Halcyon, a tenebrous yet blissful Halcyon. Come, come to me, maiden bright. Come to the embrace of eternal night. I feel like this is like a groom speaking to a bride who's a virgin on their wedding night and reassuring her that everything is going to be beautiful and good, and you know that he knows exactly what he's doing. And I really like this all the way through. Great rhyme and flow. And I like how it's the seduction of death, but it's a gentle seduction. Give me your hand, O creature of light, and banish your sorrow and fright. No need for that sullen and hopeless sigh, for the farthest shore of the Styx is nigh. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Yeah, great observations there, Pam. This is a brilliant dish of darkness that Jati has served us here, pertly rhymed throughout, employing the use of refrain to emphasize certain passages. And the word choices, I have to agree, are also sublime. From the opening stanza, this piece reels the reader in. Fall, fall to my embrace, O sweet one. For high is the moon and dead is the sun. Come, come to me, maiden bright. For I'll give you endless delight. I think that this is an inspired rite written with a delicious gothic flavor to it that portrays death's final embrace as a potent kiss. Give me your hand, O creature of light, and banish your sorrow and fright. No need for that sullen and hopeless sigh, for the farthest shore of the Styx is nigh. Stunning imagery and expertly written. I thought it was a great piece. Very well done, Jati. Okay. So, up next, we have another SoundCloud poem from our Frank. So this is The Kiss of Immortality by Poetic Picasso. And could you put the SoundCloud up for us on that one, please?
Absolutely. Here we go.
You search for me in the ancient catacombs, beneath the moonlight amidst the vestiges of my Gothic castle, once the place of my kin and nobility. The darkness of the night witnessed the passion of our genuine devotion. In the canopy of my bed, when I plucked your rose petals upon my throne, we were slaves to our lust and the desires of two bohemian lovers. Together, we rode with the winds of my eternal breath. We made love in the dark chambers of sensual secrets. For our endless pleasures fulfilled our thirst and hunger. Your raven hair caressed my bare chest, dripping with drops of blood. My sweet whispers into your ears would arouse suddenly immortal ecstasy anew. My thrust would then penetrate the deepest part of your naked flesh, and we would embrace with the evoked echoes of our midnight moans. My stare would pierce your ebony eyes of vestal luster. My hands would hold you within my arms tautly. As the hour of our departure arrived, with the masses of my kind, I would make you mine, give you thus vampiric life, drenching your ruby lips with a kiss of immortality.
Okay, so obviously a great SoundCloud there from Frank. Fantastic. And the spoken performance here by Frank, it really adds another dimension of darkness to this inspired piece. The Gothic imagery is fabulous, with all the ingredients of a lusty vampire hammer horror movie, from ancient catacombs within a Transylvanian castle to a dark bedchamber of sensual secrets. I'll bet those walls could tell a tale or two. There is a hot Latin undercurrent of passion for this inspired rite, where Frank has really unleashed his darkness, lust and love of the Gothic horror genre. My stare would pierce your ebony eyes of vestal luster. My hands would hold you within my arms tautly, as the hour of our departure arrived with the masses of my kind. I would make you mine, give you thus vampiric life, drenching your ruby lips with the kiss of immortality. This reminds me of a conversation I had only the other day with one of my victims. I meant friends. It is a truly amazing piece that descriptively captures the vampire's mindset, drenched in dark sensuality and Carpathian imagery. Great writing, Frank. And what did you think, Pam?
This is definitely a brilliant vampiric rite. Love the Gothic tone to it, the dark sensuality all the way through. It really is just, it arouses all the senses to that kiss of immortality. And I like it all the way through, but especially that stanza that starts with, "We were slaves to our lust and the desires of two bohemian lovers. Together we rode with the winds of my eternal breath. We made love in the dark chamber of sensual secrets." Remind me sometime to go visit that chamber. It sounds like a nice place to visit. But wonderful, wonderful, right, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Okay, so next up we have Christina, Darkened Auras, with Breathing to Me. And Pam, would you like to take that one away?
I would be happy to. Breathe into me, my love. Let your souls tangle, let our souls tangle and twine and then merge. Stop sacred spirits from submerging and urge. I'm in need of your lifeline to give me a surge. Breathe into me, my love. Take me down into your hidden lair. Lift my head and caress my hair. Whisper your thoughts to bring me there. Breathe into me, my love. A fresh body for my eyes to behold. A mortal corpse for you to love and hold. A treasure beyond silver and gold. Breathe into me, my love. give my body new breath once more. Open that realm to my ethereal door, a dark kiss to seal our love forevermore. End poem.
Fabulous read, Pam. Okay, written to the prompt of death sucking the life from his victim, Christina uses the refrain, "Breathe in to me, my love," as if the final fatal act of submitting the last breath is done voluntarily with dying devotion. Christina has skillfully incorporated rhyme in her piece that gives it a nice flow and cadence. Breathe into me, my love, a fresh body for my eyes to behold, a mortal corpse for you to love and hold, a treasure beyond silver and gold. Speaking of how death covets the prized possession of submitting one's fading essence unto his fateful embrace, there to remain by his side for all eternity. Breathe into me, my love. Give my body new breath once more. Open that realm to my ethereal door. A dark kiss to seal our love forevermore. A great imaginative muse on surrendering to the reaper's charms. Well written and well done, Dark Endorers. And Pam, what were your thoughts on this one?
Oh, this was beautifully written. And I do like that repetition of the first line, breathe into me, my love. As you were saying, it's that whole act of surrendering that final breath. And great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery, really an amazing dark rite on wanting that kiss that is the breath of forevermore. And of course, you know, whenever I see forevermore, I think, well, that is a wonderful nod to Poe. And I also really like this all the way through, but especially a fresh body for my eyes to behold, a mortal corpse for you to love and hold, a treasure beyond silver and gold. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. Okay, so up next we have a piece called Death's Dark Kiss by Dark Mind. And I shall give this one a read for her. Forbidden love tiptoes like the shy old moon. She waits for him impatiently, for it shall be dusk soon. Warned not to wish upon the devil's stone, she poured her own blood and drank from skull bone. Witchcraft is forbidden in this small forest village, but trouble seeped from her veins like rotten, rancid spillage. Dressed head to toe in transparent lace, she chanted his name, spilling love on his grave. The deep undergrowth began to tremble and shake as her offering penetrated the soil like poisonous snakes. Oh, how he roared like the demon he stood, breaking through the death pit carved from obsolete wood. His power, like a quake, through every tree in the land, stood before her was the ghost of her only true love, her soulmate, her man. She knew with just one kiss he would seize her soul, but without him in the real world, she had no real place to go. His cold lips touched hers as dopamine filled every inch of her body, frozen to the touch as the night air grew foggy. And with his dark kiss and her final breath, he took her by the hand and led her to his life after death. End poem. So what did you make of this one, Pam?
Oh, I like this one. You know, it's always fascinating to me and so cool to see how so many poets can take the same prompt in different directions. I thought this was a wonderful dark tale told about a woman living in a village where witchcraft is forbidden, but she's willing. She's willing to do the forbidden. She's willing to do whatever it takes to reconnect back with her love who has been lost to her. You know, all the way through great storytelling, wonderful imagery. His cold lips touched hers as dopamine filled every inch of her body, frozen to the touch as the night air grew foggy. I like the whole comparison of finally getting to be kissed by her dead lover as being having that dopamine that going through the body. And also the deep undergrowth began to tremble and shake as her offering penetrated the soil like poisonous snakes. Oh, how he roared like the demon he stood, breaking through the death pit carved from obsolete wood. Amazing lines and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree with you. I mean, that's a great comment, and you're absolutely right. I mean, this particular image seems to have been by far the most popular image that was chosen to be written to by all the poets who entered this contest. The image of death sucking the life from a beautiful woman. And the way it has been, as you rightly say, represented differently and interpreted differently by each of the people that have written. Although there's a common theme to it, they've all put their own particular twist on it, which I really like. And in this piece, it's very imaginative. We've got so many different elements that Dark Mind has thrown in here. You know, we've got witchcraft going on. We've got this deep undergrowth began to tremble and shake as her offering penetrated the soil like poisonous snakes. There's some wonderful metaphors that she's thrown in here as well. Oh, how he roared like the demon he stood, breaking through the death pit, carved from obsolete wood. Wonderful imagery throughout. And so many great lines thrown in there. I was going to actually cite the same closing stanza that you did, Pam. I just think it's an inspired write and very well done by Dark Mind, a great piece. And by the way, Dark Mind did explain to me that she used to write for All Poetry. And she had a whole plethora of poetry that she'd written. And unfortunately, she went into a dark place and she cancelled her account, thinking that like Facebook, you could just revitalize it at any given time. But unfortunately, once it's gone past 30 days, everything is lost. And so she lost everything. And so now here she is, starting from scratch again. And I hope she writes more for us because she's a great poet and I really enjoyed this piece.
She really is. And yeah, I do recognize her name and it's good to see her back. And I'm sorry that she lost so much of her poetry. I know what that feels like. I'm glad to see that she's back and, you know, starting up again writing. So very cool.
Absolutely. Okay, so up next we have a piece by Bill Schiller. And I'm just putting that up now. There we go. So Pam, would you like to give this one a read for Bill?
Absolutely. Nocturnal by Nature by Bill Schiller. I close my eyes and kiss you. There is no requisite to see your lips by shade or shadow. I still grasp the curves of your soft hips, Light is not required to sense the smite of your stare. A bird does not need photons to know when it's one with air. A relished smile blankets as I sleep. Your touch guides every dream. For as in the way of a blind man, sense powers ability to see. Upon these gray satin sheets, our bodies squeeze to temptation's tune. Saxophones and symphonies served from dark side of the moon. The sunlight at noon assures what's been known. Cerulean skies like celestial stars are jealous of your steady glow. A whisper in the dark is loud as a bird's whistle at dawn. And even if human rights cannot overcome our sins, I'll not be guilted in your leaving to another home with another hymn. When the moon rises, I shall again count the minutes and bleed until you're standing beside me with loosened collar and perfumed flowers. I'll wait in anticipation of your wanton bite. I kiss you in the dark and worship black of night. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. I thought this was an absolutely fabulous piece by Bill. It's really inspired. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff that Bill's written, and he writes some fabulous stuff. But this piece is just so imaginative. The ideas that he's poured into this piece are just wonderful. And the language that he's used, the poetic phrasing that he's used, is just sublime. There's so many great lines in here. Our bodies squeeze to temptation's tune, saxophones and symphony served from dark side of the moon. The sunlight at noon assures what's been known. Cerulean skies like celestial stars are jealous of your steady glow. A whisper in the dark is loud as a bird's whistle at dawn. There's just so many brilliant descriptive lines in here. It's just absolutely wonderful. When the moon rises, I shall again count the minutes and bleed until you're standing beside me. With loosened collar and perfumed flowers, I'll wait in anticipation of your wanton bite. I kiss you in the dark and worship black of night. It's the darkness is palpable in here. Again, we've got this wonderful kind of vampire imagery coming across with the wanton bite. And that there's this kind of, it is gothic, but it's got Bill's own twist to it, which is different. And I like that about it. I like the fact that it's different, the way that he's written it. I just think it's an excellent write. Very well done, Bill. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is wonderful, dark sensuality. And the end lines with the bite does give it a wanton bite. Does it give it a vampiric feel? But so much of this made me also think of the whole idea of the succubus, the demon that comes at night, you know, especially with lines like, I still grasp the curve of your soft hips and our bodies squeeze to temptation's tune. All the way through, just the sexuality and the darkness combined together so beautifully. And then that they're not even worried that they go to another him, that they go to another lover, because they know that they'll be back for more. So wonderful dark sensuality and very well done.
Yeah, great comment there, Pam. Okay, so up next we have a piece by a poet that I'm not familiar with, so it's another one that's new to our contest, which is wonderful to see. And this one is by a poet called Zara H. And it's just called 27th. So, I'm just trying to remember. Did you read the last one or did I read the last one, Pam?
I read the last one.
Okay, I guess that makes it my turn then. So here we go. The 27th by Zara H. Trembling through the night shadows, stumbling in corners of time, trying to find words that hasn't been said before. Here she is, in black, inking her longings. On gravestone might those words descend and reach his ears. Creatures of this inhabitants, wary of a seemingly crazed woman, reciting love verses every 27th of every month, hanging her soul on a stone with a letter, in a plea to his ghost to reach out and maybe aid her anguish with a kiss. She is resisting, resisting to forget, and willing to merge with his ashes, hoping for a touch of solace. End poem. What did you think, Pam?
Well, great read there, Arcana. I have to say, I was trying to, my mind instantly, since the first time I read this poem earlier, has been trying to figure out if there was any significance to the 27th of each month, whether it was significant to Zara or she just decided to use that date to give it a significance to the character. I did find out there is actually a movie called The 27th Day, which is a 1957 American black and white science fiction film about aliens coming to Earth and kidnapping people. So I don't know if there's any connection, but now at least I found a new movie to watch. I really like how this speaks on the idea of those memories that haunt the mind, especially on a specific anniversary or a specific date. And you know that day is coming up and you desperately want to get away from those memories. You want to find that inner peace, but you can't. And I really like this all the way through, but especially hanging her soul on a stone with a letter and a plea to his ghost to reach out and maybe aid her anguish with a kiss. So wonderful, dark, right, and very well done.
Yeah, I have to absolutely agree with that. Great comment, Pam. I kind of was wondering about that too. And I was thinking maybe the relevance of the 27th of every month being an anniversary of when her loved one died.
I'm betting and that's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah. So great writing here. There's some great metaphors in there as well. Here she is in black, inking her longings. There's some wonderfully expressed lines in here. Hang her soul on a stone with a letter. You know, hang her soul on a stone with a letter. Pouring her innermost feelings out in writing and placing them on the grave of her departed lover in a plea to his ghost to reach out and maybe aid her anguish with a kiss. Reaching out to beyond the other side of life and trying to actually feel the embrace of her dead lover. It's wonderfully written and very, very emotive. Although it's not actually a rhyming piece, there's a definite flow to it. That sort of runs through the whole piece when you read it back. And I think it's been expertly done and I look forward to actually seeing more from Zara H. I thought it was a great write, very well done. Okay, so up next we have a piece called Satan's Kiss by S. E. England. So, for this one, would you like to read this one, Pam?
Sure, absolutely. I'd be happy to. As I sat dining on my own in a haze of smoke and cheap cologne, I tried to hide my haggard face while staring blankly into space. Sensing someone watching me, I side-eye glanced in time to see the most alluring subtle grin as it began to reel me in. But evil lurked behind the smile, so beautiful and yet so vile, luridly enticing me to taste unholy fantasy, seducing me with wanton eyes while fooling me with her disguise. Her beguiling ways dispelled my fear of that by which she drew me near. The betrayal of my blind desire scorched me as I fed her fire. Savagely she ravaged me with ecstasy and agony until I helplessly gave in, falling prey to mortal sin, then drifted off on wicked bliss. My soul, the prince of Satan's kiss. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. Yeah, and this piece, S.E. has definitely really captured the essence of being seduced by an evil persona and submitting to the wickedness. The last part, the betrayal of my blind desire, scorched me as I fed her fire. Savagely she ravaged me with ecstasy and agony until I helplessly gave in, falling prey to mortal sin, then drifted off on wicked bliss, my soul the price of Satan's kiss. Great rhyming. You know, again, here we have another poet that's new to our contest. And the way that this has been written and put together, it's different. He's chosen a different prompt to the other people that have written for this contest. And he's really sort of worked it well, the way that he's written this. The imagery is fabulous throughout. He's captured some great lines in there. I just felt that overall, the whole piece, it's actually quite a classy write. And I look forward to seeing more from this poet. What did you think, Pam?
Well, I have to agree there. This is a great rhyming poem. I'm glad that S.E. England was inspired, and I too look forward to reading more of him. You know, all the way through, amazing dark imagery, as I said, great rhyme. It really is a wonderful dark write on the price paid to the lure of temptation. And I really like this all the way through, but especially I like luredly enticing me to taste unholy fantasy. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think we might just about squeeze this last piece in, which is written by Jody Melton, and it's called How Could I Ever Forget My First Kiss? And I'll give this a read for him. In the still of a moment where moonlight shines, a clandestine dance neath the whispering pines, I find myself graced by this chance so divine to kiss the sweet girl who has long been in my mind. With the stars as our witness in the hallowed night air, a symphony of crickets serenades our affair. her eyes luminous pools in which galaxies swim, drawing me closer to the brink of love's brim. Her laughter, a melody, whispers sweet tunes to the breeze. Her presence, an essence that makes time itself freeze. The world fades around us, leaving just her and I, two spirits yearning to be free in the night. A tender caress and our worlds interlace in this ephemeral moment. Time and space embrace. Our lips touch lightly, a dance of sweet fire, awakening within a fervent, profound desire. This kiss, it's a journey, a rite of passage. I better get it right. My friends can be savage. Each nuance, a story of hopes and of dreams, a cascade of feelings like uncharted streams. Her breath is a whisper of secrets untold, a warmth that envelops a hand to hold. In this kiss, the universe seems to unfold, each star a witness to the love breaking in the mold. As we pull away, hearts intertwined, in this sacred silence, two souls aligned, a memory engraved, a moment so dear, an echo of love that will forever persevere. This girl, she's a beacon, a radiant light. In her embrace, the world feels so right. Kiss, a gift, a precious sweet pearl. I'm lost in the joy, for I got to kiss the girl. End poem. What are your thoughts on this one?
Great read, Arcana. Wonderful rhyming poem by Jody. I told him that's a very memorable first kiss. I'm pretty sure mine involved a spun bottle and two of my best friends chanting, kiss him, and but in all seriousness, I also told him that I thought this was a beautiful and heartfelt rite on a moment that was treasured. So very well done to him.
Yeah, great comment. When you said your first kiss involved a spun bottle, I thought for a moment there you were going to say SpongeBob. But
no, SpongeBob was more like probably my niece's first kiss.
I think it's a great, great rhyming piece that Jody's written here. There's a lot of wonderful lines in here. We've not really got time for me to go through any more of the passages, but it's again a very unique take on the prompt, and I like the way that he's written this. The rhyming is on point. There's some great imagery that he's thrown in there. It's imaginative, inventive, and it's sort of, there's a lot of things in there that sort of actually you can take away from this and think, and like you say, bringing the first kiss into it as well, which was inspired, and the way that at the end of it he says, I'm lost in the joy, for I got to kiss the girl, that was the prize that he was aiming for all along, and he finally got it. And so it's a great piece. Very well expressed and well written. Thoroughly enjoyed it, Jody. Well done. And on that note, here we are going into the last moments of the show. It's been an absolute pleasure sharing the evening with you, Pam, as it always is. And I would like to say good night to everybody. Thank you for joining us in the show. Thank you for writing for the contest. Thank you to Uncle Ernie, Stelina, Frank, all the people that joined us on the board this evening. And would you like to say good night and goodbye to everybody, Pam?
Great show, Arcana, and good night, and have a good evening, everyone.
Have a great